Let's go to the Lord and pray, and we'll get started today. Lord, a blessing to come together as this group, this part of the body of Christ. And I look forward to it. I'm encouraged by this group. And that's just, I love that that's your plan, is for there to be communities. And truly, when I see and hear all of us talking with each other, you know, people that know maybe two or three people here, or know 15, 20, 30 people in here, but there's just fellowship going on. Your Holy Spirit is felt here, and we just want to honor you for that and thank you, and pray that you would just infuse these Sunday mornings with fellowship in that way, not just friendship, Lord, friendship and the encouragement that comes in Christ. Lord, we just proclaim to you, Lord, we're so dependent on you for all the things that hit us, Lord. We've just seen just all of them, all of the things that can happen in a fallen world, from just medical issues, from relationships and job concerns, just all of those things. Everybody in here has got something that they're thinking about that's on their heart, as well as on their heart of wanting to be here and have fellowship. And that's just, we show up as a mixed bag. And so we just want to proclaim that to you and just live this out in front of you and, in the body of Christ. So, thank you for that. Pray that you'd be glorified in our fellowship. We do pray for your wisdom, in situations that are going on. There are a bunch of them. Most we don't know, but like Cynthia's situation that she's been dealing with for so long and so sacrificially. I thank you, for her strength, and I do pray for guidance through these court cases, that you would do, what is best for these kids, and just give Cynthia strength as she faces, all those challenges. Lord, I thank you again for our time together and the way that you bring us together to fellowship and then to hear your word and to hear testimonies and to hear proclamation of what you do, Lord. We're not just here to observe life and lean on each other. We're also given great wisdom through your word and encouragement through people's lives. And I pray and thank you for what you've done in Amanda's life and how that has encouraged her and her family and all of us, just as we see what she has gone through and how she's turning that into such a ministry and given just so much effort to your word. And so I just thank you that we have her here today, and I pray that you would speak through her and encourage our hearts. And I pray in Christ's name, amen. All right, so Glenn was out of town today. And so as y'all remember, maybe about it was last June, we had Amanda Peterson spoke to us, encouraged all of us, and very God-focused. And so I run into Amanda every now and then at the coffee place, Mary Elliott's, another one. And she's working on usually some crossword puzzles. work for here at the church and the Word of God. And so Glenn and I were talking. He said, a great idea, I'm out of town, would be to hear an update on Amanda's life and ministry and some of her studies. So I'm going to turn it over to you. Thank you for being here.
Yes, thank you.
I really appreciate it.
Can you
put that up somewhere?
Got it.
Or do you want me to stand here?
Yeah, will you hold it for me, actually?
It wouldn't be awkward.
He's a servant leader.
Yeah.
Let's see if I can get this. There we go.
Great.
All right. Well, hey, everybody. I'm Amanda. I had the privilege of speaking here June of last year, and that day was my first day in Briarwood ever. So it's honestly really jarring to come here today to tell you what the Lord has done since then. It's quite overwhelming, and I will weep. I'm just going to go ahead and warn you. I will weep as I speak today, but Glenn, called me Wednesday. You know how he does. And he said, Amanda, so I'm going to be out of town this weekend. Do you think you could sub for me in Sunday school? And I was like, what do you mean? You want me to teach? And, he was like, you know, just tell me what the Lord's doing in your life. And I was like, oh gosh. Okay. Well, I know when I spoke here in June, I kind of just, you know, poured my heart out to you all and shared all that the Lord had done. And, so I feel like this, the last few days has been a sweet gift from the Lord to reflect upon what has happened since that day. And it's so kind of the Lord, but that morning I was in Mark chapter 5, and after Jesus casts out the demons from the man that they go into the pigs and the pigs run off the cliff, he says to the man, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone marveled.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So today to reveal to you, everything that the Lord has done for me. And I hope that you marvel at who our God is. Amen. And how powerful he is to work in our lives. This word mercy has really been echoing in my brain and really understanding what is mercy? What is God's mercy? And mercy is the relief from the state of misery. The relief from the state of misery. And I think misery sometimes we don't even realize we're living in it until we're redeemed from it. And I did not know how miserable I was. So for those that weren't here in June, the Lord's done a mighty work, and I'll give you a little recap on what happened leading up to June and what the Lord was doing in my life. But the recap will start in Romans 1. I know you that were here in June heard this, but I'm going to read Romans 1 because it describes my life before the Lord. So Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature, and the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another. Men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty of their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They were full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. So this passage pretty much describes what my life was. I grew up in a very loving Christian home. I was exposed to the gospel every day of my life. I knew the truth and I suppressed the truth. Truly because I made the three exchanges in this passage. So the first exchange is that you exchange the glory of God for the glory of anything else. And part of that glory was my own glory, and seeking glory through my athletics, through career, and just seeking my own glory in how I thought romance should be fulfilled. And so I began exchanging truth for a lie. So I began believing lies that I wasn't girly enough. I never grew up wanting to have tea parties. I was like the girl that played football in the front yard with all the boys, and I was all their best friends. And I was never the girlfriend. I was always the best friend. And so I just began believing like, well, I'm not the Cinderella. I'm never going to have the Prince Charming. And so those lies kind of subconsciously grew in me as a middle schooler and a high schooler. I wasn't even really aware that these lies were growing. And in that, I made the final exchange of natural for unnatural. And I stepped into a decade of secret homosexual sin. And in that, seeking affection that I had always wanted, the Lord, at the end of that, I actually dated a guy for a year after that and just thought he was my new savior. And, the Lord did a lot of things with that relationship, but when he broke my heart is where the Lord began showing me his mercy. Because it put me in a deep, dark pit. And for the first time ever, I didn't seek satisfaction elsewhere. He, in his mercy, brought me back to himself. And the message that he really showed me in my deepest darkness was in Psalm 81. It says that he would feed you with the finest of wheat, and with honey from the rock he would satisfy you. And I heard Tim Keller preach on this, and he described the rock that in the desert, when you're wandering, you seek a rock. This would be a big rock, like a boulder. And the rock would provide shade in the day or coolness, warmth at night when the desert would get so cold. It may even hold water. So by seeking the rock in the desert, it gives kind of your needs, your basic needs, warmth, comfort, water, protection. And, but Jesus said, the Lord says here, I'll give you honey from the rock. Well, honey doesn't come out of a rock. You seek a rock in the desert and you expect warmth, and he gives you honey. That just doesn't make any sense. And so I just remember in my deepest darkness, Lord, I know I'm in the desert. I know I put myself here. I know my rebellion and my foolishness and my futile ways have put me in this desert. But Lord, I don't want to wander for 40 years. Like, please just get me through the desert. And like the shortest, like I will stay focused on the path. I see the path. I will stay focused on the rock. And I know you're saying if I stay on the rock, you're going to give me honey. I know what that honey was, but I was like, it's got to be better than what I've had. So that was really the message that the Lord put in my brain. And then what he did, or what he was already doing then and what he is still doing, is in Ezekiel 36. So I'm going to be reading from Ezekiel 36, starting in verse 23. But as I read this, listen to what the Lord says he will do. There's over 20 things in this passage that he says he will do. So starting in verse 23, and I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which you have profaned among the nations and which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you. And you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses. And from all your idols, I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart. And a new spirit I will put within you. and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to, thank you, sir. And be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I will deliver you from all your uncleannesses. And I will summon the grain and make it abundant and lay no famine upon you. I will make the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field abundant, that you may never again suffer the disgrace of famine among the nations. Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you will loathe yourselves for your iniquities and your abominations. It is not for your sake that I will act, declares the Lord. Let that be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your ways, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will cause the cities to be inhabited, and the waste places shall be rebuilt. And the land that was desolate shall be tilled instead of being the desolation that it was in the sight of all who passed by. And they will say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations that are left all around you shall know that I am the Lord. I have rebuilt the ruined places and planted that which was desolate. I am the Lord. I have spoken and I will do it. And this is what he has done. I discovered Ezekiel 36 months after I spoke to all of you in June. And I was just taken aback. As I've seen him do these things, I've seen the new heart and the new spirit, his spirit in me, and I've seen him want me to obey his law and desire his word and rebuild and replant. And gosh, after Glenn called me Wednesday night, I was like, man, I gotta really reflect on the what the Lord's done. This is exhausting. And, oh, he's done so much. So I journaled a ton when I was going through a lot of my darkness, and I went back and read through about 6 journals in the last few days, which is quite overwhelming. But there's one entry I want to read to everybody to show Ezekiel 36 in the flesh. Because I don't understand how I wrote this or how my brain was even here at this time. But I wrote this in really 4 months after the deep darkness began. And so this deep darkness wasn't that long ago, but this was written in February of last year. So 13 months ago. This is what I wrote. I think I'm about to, I should probably start with this. I've been a physical therapist for 8 years. I owned a practice. I have my doctorate. I'm board certified. Excellent career. Okay. That will give you some premise behind this. But I said, I think I'm about to make a radically big change in my life that may not make sense to most people around me. The passion, desire, endurance that the Lord has given me to learn and read and listen to and understand his word is of a supernatural level. It is all consuming from the moment I wake up until I go to sleep. Yesterday I read and wrote and listened from 4:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. without stopping. And I was sad to go to sleep because there is so much more to learn. I truly could do that again today, and I have the desire to. He has given me grace abounding to understand and seek his word and his truth, and he is planting a deep, deep faith in me that is scary and seems crazy at times. I feel called to dive into seminary full time to learn and study his word in full depths. He has shown me that this could turn into many years of learning, but that he will provide and guide me along the way. I don't know what the final destination is. Does he want me to teach? Does he want me to speak? Does he want me to write books? He seems to be withholding that right now. but he is calling me to learn. He has equipped me with deep stamina and desire. He had laid a foundation over the course of my life for scholarly learning and research. He has shown me that I am capable of being a specialized advanced learner in the professional field of physical therapy, but he has given me a far greater desire and stamina to be an advanced learner of his word. My professor in seminary very directly said that the Lord has intentionally called each of us to that seminary class in his will. He said the Lord is leading each of us to something in his will, and why would we ever fight what the Lord was calling us to do? I guess because it feels like I have to explain or justify why I would walk away from my perfect little American dream of being an owner of my own PT clinic that I manage 2 minutes from my amazing and comfortable home in Homewood with a very steady income. My job is stable and secure, and I could easily stay there the rest of my career. But the Lord is calling me to something greater. He wants to use my mind for something more powerful, for his kingdom. 1 month ago, I would have said this was crazy. And he keeps gradually pulling me in this direction. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Hebrews 11:1-3. If I have faith that his word is true, then I must have assurance for things hoped for and a conviction of things not seen. He is not calling me to step out blind, for I am stepping out knowing his authority and his dominion and his power and his goodness and his promises. That is baffling that I wrote that. That is Ezekiel 36, that he put that desire inside of me to abandon the life that I had built for myself and to tear it down and to build a new life founded upon his word. As I reflect on Ezekiel 36 and Romans 1, the overwhelming parallels is that over and over we hear in Romans 1 that God gave them over. He gave them over. And in Ezekiel 36, we see him say, I will do it. I will. I will. I will. And that is mercy. That is his mercy, that he would do it, that he would redeem my life from the pit. And I'm teaching 1 Peter right now, and so all I think about is Peter. But he starts out his first letter by saying that according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. His great mercy is what has caused me to have a new heart, to be born again to a hope that is living. The hope of Christ and all that we have in Christ. And that is what that is where we left off in June when I spoke. So that's kind of where we were. And what the Lord has done since is, again, quite shocking. But when I spoke that day, it was recorded and my life kind of blew up after that. And, I was asked to countless dinners and coffees, and I was asked to speak to high school kids and college kids and campus outreach and multiple Sunday school classes. And in all of that, I was overwhelmed by the embrace of the body here at Briarwood. I had never set foot in here until that day. And people from this class invited me over for dinner just to serve me and get to know me. The Drapers have been just sweet spiritual shepherds in my life. the Donaldsons. I mean, I see John literally every time I go to a Henry's. Together, pray for our wallets there. And even the readers, I've been in seminary, and Ike and Angie have been so intentional with me, and Harry and Cindy are just amazing leaders of this church. And in the midst of all that, I was in seminary, I'm here at BTS, doing the Masters of Divinity program, and randomly one day I got this email. This was in July, so about a month after I spoke to you guys. I got an email from a guy in one of my seminary classes that was on Zoom. So never met this guy other than our faces on Zoom. And he doesn't go here. He goes to a different church. And he said, Amanda, my buddy Stephen King at Briarwood, he's trying to hire someone at the church. I just love how you talk about the Lord. I think you should apply for it. Like, this guy does not even know anything about me other than whatever I speak in class. And I was like, oh, wow, huh. That's interesting. Well, maybe I should. Maybe I should apply. That'd be fun working at church, you know? And so I'm like, all right, Lord, this might be what you have for me. So I emailed Stephen King, met with Stephen King, and he's so wise. He sent me down to Benny Parks. Sweet Benny. And again, Benny is so wise, a wonderful shepherd of this body. And lo and behold, dear Christy Herrick needed an assistant. And Benny was like, you know what? We really think this would be a better fit for you, because you could still do your seminary, but you could be under Christy's wing and kind of learn from Christy and work for her part-time and do both. You could be in seminary and work for Christy. And I was like, wow, this sounds great. I guess this is what I'm supposed to do. So I got a job. And it's just like, okay, just so happened, the Lord got me this job. And so I stepped into that job in September. And during that same time, the July to September window there, I felt certain, because of the way the body had shepherded me and really put their wing around me, I was like, you know I need to join Briarwood. I need to be a serving member of Briarwood. Before I even knew anything about employment, I was like, I need to be a serving member of Briarwood. And so I committed to joining the church in August. And then things just snowballed from there. At the membership class, I met one of my new sweet friends, Jessie. She happened to have heard this recording from June with her mom a month prior. And so when I met her, she was like, hey, so I already know everything about you. I was like, wow. Okay, what's your name again? But that's kind of standard now. And that's been such a sweet gift to have new friendships in the body. And the Lord has just been providing countless friends. And the two of us decided, you know what, we need to get to know more women in the church. So we just started inviting two women over for dinner every Monday night. And we're like, we're just going to get to know women in the church. And we did that for months. And then we said, you know what, we should lead a Bible study. We should lead a Bible study at your house. Okay, so now we're leading a Bible study at Jesse's house. And just to get to know women of all ages and stages in the church and to experience fellowship from every angle has just been so rich. In the midst of all of that, I'm, you know, still in school here and will be for a long time. But Christy has been such a wonderful mentor for me. She is such a wise woman, administratively, leadership wise, but especially in her heart for the Lord and her ministry to countless women. I don't know how she trusted me, but she let me teach. She and Benny prayerfully said, you know what, we know you've been through in seminary for a year now, and we would like to let you teach alongside Elizabeth Bondurant, you know, to kind of learn, get your feet wet, see if that's what the Lord's calling you to. And y'all, it's the best thing I've ever experienced. I just want to dig and dig and dig and dig. And I'm teaching First Peter, and I'm just like, let me tell you everything there is to know about Peter and about the time he wrote and everything. And it's just been such a gift to be surrounded by so many great opportunities here at Briarwood. And you know, Phil Tuttle during the missions conference just kept, in his teaching of Ruth, he just kept saying, you know, just so happens, it just so happened that, and that's how I feel the Lord has been working. Just so happens this guy from your seminary sent you an email. Just so happened Christy needed an assistant. Just so happened, just countless over and over and over, the things that the Lord has been opening up. And all of that, as we look back at Ezekiel 36, where he says, I have rebuilt the ruined places and replanted that which was desolate. I am the Lord. I have spoken and I will do it. That's what he's doing. He is replanting and rebuilding, and it is like a well-watered garden. It's really jarring as I've reflected upon all that he's done, since I spoke to you guys last. And, Psalm 66, has just been echoing in my head because it says, come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds towards the children of men. Come and hear, all you who fear the Lord, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul. Come and see, come and hear. It's real. It's not just words on a page. He writes this on our hearts. And it's real, and you can see it. And you can hear of it. And in Psalm 66, it says, I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. And Psalm 81 with the honey from the rock, as I've reflected back and I've really seen what that honey is, it's not what I thought it was when I was seeking it in the early stages of the wilderness. I was just like, Lord, I'm sure your honey's good. I'm sure it's going to be way better than this life I've dug for myself. But he has shown me that he is the true honey, that he satisfies every longing and every desire and every expectation that we have of this life. And so I looked up the definition of satisfy. And the word satisfy means to fulfill desires, needs, and expectations. Desires, needs, and expectations. And what we all truly desire is unfailing love. All of our souls desire unfailing love. And that's what he is. He embodies that. Unfailing love. Mercies anew every morning. And just hear these words. Just let this soak over you. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. He redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. For I will satisfy the weary soul, and every languishing soul I will replenish. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. He is who satisfies every desire and need and expectation that we have. And so I want to encourage you all to taste and see that he is good. It is a tasting and a seeing and a hearing and a feeling and a doing. It's life with him, and it's embodied in his word and in his body. And this body here at Briarwood is such a glorious, it has been such a glorious gift to be a part of this body. And to serve, and to, especially with this unfolding of spiritual gifts, and just to see the immense treasure the Lord has given to all of us here, and people stepping into their gifts and using it to edify one another and to build up his body, the body of Christ. Lord, let us taste and see that you are good and that nothing else will satisfy. Thank you so much for letting me come speak to you all today. Appreciate it.
Questions?
Yeah.
Y'all have any questions for Amanda? Any?
I'm an open book.
Her ministry.
She hadn't noticed.
It is. It's quite a gift for you to be here for us. So,
well, I love this is a special class to me. June 20th had just changed my life. So,
yeah. You're talking, Andy.
Yeah.
What was the thing that caused you to turn? I mean, just like this, like the thing where you said, I need to go in your direction.
Yeah. Well, so when that guy broke up with me. I didn't tell anyone for like 2 days, and I laid in my dark bedroom and didn't eat and had really toxic thoughts of like, what did I do wrong? I'm just not good enough. I'm not. And all I remember, which again, it's just Ezekiel 36. I woke up on the third day of that. And I just remember waking up that morning and just saying, I need help. And it's not like I went and hit the ground running that day. I was still a corpse. But I knew I needed help. And that morning, all I did was I texted my three sisters. They don't live here, but I texted them and just said, I'm not doing well. And I texted two of my friends in Birmingham. And again, I'm not doing well. Please pray for me. And my sisters all responded with the word of God. And my two friends came to my house that night, and I just remember them speaking life from the word into me. And like the way I see it is I was like face down in a mud pit, and all that happened that night was that they flipped me over. And like I could like, it's like I could look up and see. But what happened from the end of the second day to the beginning of the third day, I can't tell you other than Ezekiel 36.
Scripture and agents of mercy and God.
Yes. And really just his divine power that he even gave me any sort of hope or ability to reach out for help that morning. I don't know what he did.
Point of your regeneration, or were you a believer that kind of...
Excellent question. I would have thought I was a believer. Even amidst my years of rebellion, I was in a constant state of conviction, constant wrestling. But that morning was different. That day was different. It was like those that save their life will lose it, and those that lose their life for my sake will save it. And I said, Lord, I lose everything for you. Everything else is rubbish. All is rubbish for the sake of knowing you. So I think that day is when I got my new heart.
Amanda, thanks for sharing. And two things. One, earlier John said that you were going to seminary, and if you needed any help with your courses, he offered this help.
John? he tutors me in Hebrew.
Thanks for it. So really my question is, you know, sort of, breast exposure to Barwick is an outsider, and then very quickly significant insider.
Mm-hmm.
What lessons can we learn from that transition? You, and I guess really what I'm saying is, you know, what were the hard spots? What was the hard spots that we could do better as a church?
I probably don't have a lot of constructive criticism. I think what felt overwhelming was like no one tried to put on a show. No one tried to like pretend like everyone here was perfect. But people genuinely wanted to know me and genuinely wanted to walk alongside me. And I wasn't like this freak show that like, hey, I had this life of sin and now I'm redeemed. I wasn't treated that way. I was treated just like, hey, you're my sister.
and come have dinner at my home. And I mean, honestly, Glenn Draper, you know, Glenn, you end up knowing everybody. So Glenn was a huge component of my discipleship, and he would just have these dinners, and the harshest got to come to one of, in the parks, where he would just invite people from the church over to his house so that I could share with them what the Lord had done in my life. And he did about 6 of those dinners where he would invite 12 to 15 people. And Christy came to a dinner, and the Donaldsons, and I mean, it was kind of like I just got infused into the church naturally, not by like programming, like, hey, come to this event, which is great. Like, it's great to invite people to events. I'm not saying that. I work for the church. but like, walk alongside people, invite them into your home, go for a walk with somebody, you know, just that was the overwhelming piece of Briarwood. And then working for the church, and I see the ins and outs, and I like, you know, I see the people vacuuming every day, and I see the way they clean the bathrooms, and I see the ins and outs of what Benny does every day. He always beats me to the office. I don't understand. I get there at like 7, and just the labor behind the scenes. We have a mighty team of men laboring for this church to protect and shepherd this church. And they're working hard. So.
Yeah.
At what point in the process did you start talking to Glenn?
Mm-hmm.
Meet Glenn, and he was encouraging.
Yeah. Great question. Well, when I was a physical therapist, I was Glenn's physical therapist. When he went through all his cancer in his leg, I don't know if y'all knew him during that time, but yeah. He had a pretty significant tumor in his leg, and I was his therapist because I specialized in oncology. And so the Lord just so happened to send Glenn Draper into my clinic. And he was my patient for, you know, a year and a half during that season. And then he broke his hip later, like a couple years later, and he was again my patient. So he was kind of this steady constant in my life. And I was able to talk the church talk. I grew up in church. So he assumed I was a believer the way I could talk. I wore a mask. I mean, I was a double-minded person. And so somehow, like, he and Ashley have been friends with me on Facebook, so we kind of had just this connection that stayed. And I'm off social media, but I made one last Facebook post right after the breakup with the guy, and I just said, like, the Lord's doing a lot in my life. It was, like, very obscure, you know. And he sent me a text and said, hey, why don't you come up for dinner and tell me and Ashley what's going on? And I was like, oh, God. Okay. I don't know if you're ready for this, Glenn. And the Lord, again, the Lord, he just had me tell them everything. I don't know why. I just spilled my guts to the Drapers. And from that point forward, they walked with me every day. I mean, every single day, texting scriptures, sending sermons back and forth, having me over for dinner, Glenn and I talking theology. I mean, R.C. Sproul, Holiness of God, you know, just countless day by day. And it wasn't always knowledge. It was life. So they are special people. They're very special people.
Amen. Thank you. Good. Okay. Yeah. Janice.
Yeah. This is my mom.
That's mom.
No, I wanted you to share about, for those who might have a grandfather going through something like the heartbreak and dealing with it, I thought it was God's wisdom, what you did to reject Satan's thoughts, you know, that were coming at you all the time.
Yeah. I think, I mean, it was in the darkness, like, I really didn't need to be reminded of, honestly, I didn't need fluff. I'm not a fluffy person. I just, like, don't tell me, like, better plans are ahead. Like, I honestly needed to see the holiness of God. I needed to see He is Creator God, and He is sovereign, and He is good. And a lot of that in the comforting is not, I want to be careful how I say this, but like, the comforting is not like, there's a husband for you down the line. Like the Lord, well, that's not what the Lord has promised in His word. That's not a promise of God in His scriptures. He has promised, to never leave me or forsake me. And He has promised His steadfast love will endure forever. And I think being pointed to His word was more powerful than fluff. Even if it's like one of my sisters just texted me Psalm 34, He is near to the brokenhearted. You know, and that is God's word and that is true. And He was near to me in my brokenheartedness. And so I think constantly being reminded of His truth and not the world's truth. Cause it was a reprogramming of my brain. It was just so tarnished with lies. I had to kind of shut out secular music and social media, and I just quit watching Hallmark movies. I mean, they're toxic. Okay. Hallmark is toxic. That is not how the Lord describes love in His word. If you've read 1 Corinthians 13, His is agape love, so quit watching Hallmark. So I think it's just been a renewal of my mind from His word, not from the culture, not from the world. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay.
You talk a lot in about your toxic thoughts and how you kind of
get through that. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, renewing your mind is real. It's effort. We are to make every effort to supplement our faith. 2 Peter chapter 1. We're to make every effort. We're not just passive in our walk with the Lord. And so it was an effort to put off and put on, but not just put off the world, but to put on His truth. And I can see the renewal that He's been working. Just reading through these countless journals, it's just shocking, honestly. Shocking. Hopefully I'll have a book one day with my journals. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Like we could stay here a long time. But, yeah. So let's great.
John's Hebrew lessons pro bono.
Yeah, you know,
pro bono is the Hebrew word for that was totally made up by part of
the Hebrew word.
Yeah. Good conclusion to this. All right, well, let's pray. Lord, again, with our Thanksgiving, we are thankful for our time together and the fact that we don't have to just come together and give platitudes or just share anything just from this earth. We have a transcendent truth and a transcendent you, and that you initiate. What a great challenge today to hear and to think. I don't see that, Lord, when things are going on. I'm not tasting that as from you. And I thank you that Amanda's reminded us of that. So thank you that you are that way and that you've shown it to people and we get to share these testimonies. We pray for blessings for Amanda, for protection, encouragement, clarity as she studies the word. And thank you for her giftedness. We know Satan would not like that she's using that. So we pray for strength and against the enemy. And I know you're there and you're more powerful. So we're not afraid of that, but we pray for Amanda with that and for all of us. And, thank you that she encourages us. I pray that we would encourage her. Lord, thank you for our time this morning. In Christ's name, amen.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.